Thank you for joining us again today. I want to draw your attention to Galatians chapter 6. Now, before we read the text for today, I want to mention that most of Paul's writings in the New Testament go on for quite a while talking about many subjects, and then all of a sudden, we read near the end of his books, his letters to the churches, what seems like little instructions. I call them sermonettes. I think that Paul was running out of time and had to deliver the letter as soon as he could, or he was pressed to travel somewhere else. So I think what Paul did was give some little sermonettes, and these were like basically future sermons. People could bring up the subject again, and he could expound it later on. But this is one of those instances in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you'll use your servant today to speak to people. Speak to them about not being weary in well-doing. We praise you for opening our eyes so we can see with our heart and not be weary in well-doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this verse, it talks about well-doing. I want to address that first. Now, this is usually the work that Christ calls his people to do. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "We are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Our calling is to do good things. We are not to just get saved and then go to church and give money in the offering and just sit there and do nothing, but we have a purpose. Each of us have a purpose in life. We can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 that we are given gifts and callings to help others. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 12 says that we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are to be doing something with our faith in Christ Jesus. We are not to just be sitting in the pews taking up space. We are to do something. Jesus gave us a prime example. He was always working to please his Father in heaven. And you know, we need to please our Father in heaven by doing something, taking what we've been given from him and using it. You know, we may be called to pray for people, intercession, prayer. You know, we can do that for others. All of us can do that. Some are called to spread the word through evangelism. Some are called to teach. And there are different offices in the church, and including the pastor. You know, we are all given something by God to do, and we should be doing it. This benefits both us and others. Regardless of what we've been called to do, we are to be doing something with it. In the parable of the talents, Jesus said that there was one of the three who didn't do anything but just buried it. He buried what God had given him. But the other two used their talents and increased, and that's what the Lord wants. Even if we increase by just a little, he said to the evil servant, you know, if you would have at least put it in the bank and gained some interest, that would have been good. But most people just don't do anything with their life. We are to be in motion, like God wants us to be. Jesus gave us that example, and we are to do the same. We may not move like Jesus did, but we will move. Jesus said, "These works and others, greater works, will you do because I go unto the Father." We have received the Holy Spirit, not so we can just be happy, but so we can spread the gospel throughout the world. Jesus told the disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He didn't say, "Just sit around and do nothing and be glad that you're in the fold." No, we are to do something. So Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says that we are to not be weary in well-doing. We can't grow weary of doing good. How many of us grow weary at times in what our natural bodies are supposed to do? We get fatigued. We get burned out. That's what weary means. We get burned out. Now, sometimes, you know, you get the impression that weary means that you're exhausted. Well, that may be one of the meanings, but in here, in this verse, it's talking about growing weary or burnt out or just getting tired of doing the same thing over and over again. You know, sometimes in the natural, we get tired of cooking. We get tired of working. We get tired of bills. But after we get over it, we realize we have to cook in order to eat. We have to work in order to provide the money to buy food so we can cook, and we also have to pay the bills or we'll be left in the dark, and maybe without heat or air. So we realize that life is work. It is not sitting down and doing nothing. Well, the same is true in the spirit. We must be moving forward. We must be in motion in the Holy Spirit. We must constantly be reading our word, praying to God, and fellowshipping with each other. And if we see someone with a need, we must try to do something to help them. Some of us are called specifically for certain things to help others with, and that's good. We must grow in those. But if anyone doesn't know what they're supposed to do, then they can ask God and He'll start to show them little at a time, or maybe all at once, what they can be doing to help others. This idea of helping others started in the Garden of Eden. When God created Adam, He decided that Adam should not be alone. So He took the rib out of the man and made woman. And God made her to be a helpmate for him. Not to be his servant and not to rule over him, but to be a helpmate. They were to complement each other in their actions and in their words and everything that they did. You will see in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, when she was tempted by that serpent to eat the forbidden fruit that God said don't eat, that she ate of it and then gave to her husband who was there with her. He was there the whole time. They were always one together. Now, they shouldn't have eaten of the fruit, but it just shows us that whatever they did together. What the man was good at, he helped the woman with. Whatever the woman was good at, she helped the man with. They were always helping each other. God's idea of creation is to give, not to receive all the time and be selfish and hoard up a bunch of goods for ourselves, but to give and give abundantly if we've got it. Acts chapter 4 talks about the people sold the land, the excess land that they had, and they gave the money to the apostles. Now, it doesn't say they gave their excess land, but it would be foolish to take of the land that you raise crops on to help feed your own family and just give it away. That would be foolish. But it said that they would give the money of the sale of the land to the apostles, and they would buy goods or give money and distribute it to all those in need. And it's so interesting when it says in verse 32 to 37 of that chapter that they had all things common. They all had one goal, and they helped each other in this goal. Now, I've heard it before that if all of the world's wealth were equally distributed among everyone on this earth, that everyone would have everything that they need. No, not what they wanted, but everything that they needed. We're talking about the basics, food, clothing, shelter. But everyone would have their basic needs, and that is amazing. And I believe that's true. Now, God has abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can give us whatever we need. And if we see someone with a need and we have excess, we can give it to him to help him out. But we must realize that God is not saying that if we have our rent due and we have the money for rent, and if someone else we see has a need, that we give them our rent money. That's not what God is saying. What God is saying is that when He gives you extra, it may be for a purpose. It may be for you to get ahead and get something else that you needed, but it may be for someone else, and we must be willing and ready to give it if we need to do so, if God impresses that upon our heart to do so. But there are times in our life when, and even in our spiritual walk, we get tired of doing good. We don't see any results, and we get discouraged because, you know, we've been at this a long time, giving to someone or giving something, and we just don't see any results yet. We may get discouraged and think that we need to just stop doing whatever we was doing. But if God has called us to do it, then we need to keep doing it. There are seeds that if someone plants in a garden or a field, it takes a while for it to grow. Cantaloupe and pumpkin seeds, when you plant them, they may take 3 to 4 months before you'll see the fruit from them. It just takes longer on some seeds than it does others. If God tells us to plant something and we don't see immediate results, then we should just keep doing what God called us to be doing until He makes it happen. There might be another reason why people become weary in well-doing, and that's because they see people who don't need it taking it. There are times when someone gives to another, and that person didn't need it at all. But we shouldn't be quick to judge on that because they may be getting it for someone else, Or they may just be afraid that they won't have anything left by the end of the week or something. There's been people who feed the homeless near the end of the month who give extra to people because they know that their monthly check from the government doesn't stretch that far. We shouldn't be discouraged whenever we see someone who appears that they don't need it taking it. We don't know the whole story behind what we see, and it could be different than what it appears. We can still receive a heavenly reward even if there is worldly waste. Ephesians 6 verses 7 and 8 say, "With good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." When we do something for the Lord, it shows, if not now, but in eternity. So we should keep doing good even if we don't see immediate results. And we should never become weary in well-doing. For God sees it, and He will reward us. God is always God, and God is always good. When God promises something, He will perform it. In Matthew 24, verse 36, it says that only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. So it is going to happen, we just may not know when. So the timing shouldn't concern us. We should just hold on to the promise that what God has promised, He will perform, and always keep our eyes on Him instead of the end result. He will bring the end result in its due season. Now, if we are waiting for God to deliver us from something horrible, and we look to Him, trusting in Him, we may have to walk through the fire like the three Hebrew children did in the book of Daniel. On the other side of it, though, we won't be burnt, and we won't even smell like smoke, because we trust in God. The words due season in Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 basically mean this. It will happen whenever it's right for it to happen. You cannot harvest a crop before its time, otherwise it won't be mature enough. It won't taste right. It might even be green and make us sick in the stomach. So there is a fixed time for whenever we should be receiving something. If you have a child who wants to learn to drive at the age of 10, you can't do that because it's not the due season for it yet. We should just be prepared to wait sometimes for God to give us what we need. If we get something too soon, it may have catastrophic events in our life. Psalm 145 verse 15 says, "The eyes of all wait upon you, O God, and you give them their meat in due season." Matthew 6 verse 33, Jesus speaking said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all your needs will be added unto you." Deuteronomy 28 talk about the blessings coming upon you and overtaking you. You won't have to worry about them. Just keep living your life for God, and He'll bring it. The reason we shouldn't want everything too soon, and we should just wait and be patient for it, not becoming weary in well-doing, is because, for one thing, we will know that it was God when we receive it. It will feel holy, it will feel refreshing and rejuvenating to our spirit and our soul and our body. Another reason could be we will appreciate it more. When you make a child wait for something for when they really need it, like Christmas, they'll appreciate it more when they get it instead of receiving it too soon and then not getting something for Christmas because they got their Christmas gift early. And another reason is it will last. When God gives us something in due season, He knows that we will take care of it and appreciate it more. We will make it last as long as He wants us to have it, until maybe the next thing comes along. Whether we receive a blessing now or later, we should never stop doing what God has called us to do. We can expect, either now or in heaven, to receive a reward for what we have done. But the biggest reason that we should not be weary in well-doing is because of love. We are to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as ourselves. God's love gives, and He is patient with us. God sees His loving giving as Isaiah 55 verse 11 states, when He says, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So be encouraged to keep doing well, to doing what God has called you to do. and let God handle the rest. Father, I pray that if anyone has been discouraged in doing well, that you would encourage them again, strengthen their heart to keep giving, even if they don't see results right away or see the desired results that they want. Sometimes you give us something different, Lord, but we know that whatever we receive, it comes from our giving as you have instructed us to do. Thank you for providing strength for our heart to continue doing well, and we thank you for the end results that you have your hands upon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.